Hundreds of protesters were on the streets of New York this weekend, arguing both in favor of and against the proposed Islamic center near Ground Zero. But 1.5 billion Muslims were also watching. Coming up, what does the debate mean to them? In a moment.
You're listening to The Takeaway from Public Radio International and WNYC in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning. I'm Celeste Headlee, and I'm joined by Todd Zwillick this morning. He is filling in for John Hockenberry. And let's get a check on some of our top stories at 47 minutes after the hour. We're going to start in Manila. A story we've been following this morning has ended in tragedy. It began when a laid-off Filipino policeman hijacked a bus that was filled with 15 Chinese tourists. He hoped of getting his job back. He'd been fired for extortion. Police surrounded the bus, shot out the tires, and broke the windows with sledgehammers. After the shots were fired at the bus, the police stormed in. The gunman and two of the hostages were killed. And in Chile, a much different ending to a story there. That's the sound of relieved relatives celebrating after they received a note from a trapped miner saying that he and 32 of his colleagues who'd been trapped there for 17 days are all okay. The head of the rescue operation, though, says it could be up to 4 months before they can dig a tunnel large enough to get them out. The toughest challenge now may be preserving the miners' sanity during the long wait.
In China now, 250,000 people have been evacuated near the border with North Korea due to flooding. Meanwhile, South Korea says it has no plans to resume food aid to the North. Despite the floods, the aid stopped 2 years ago when a more conservative government was elected in the South. And here in the States, scientists say they're very close to approving a drug that treats the Ebola virus. The new drug cured Ebola in 60% of rhesus monkeys that were tested. The FDA has now given permission for trials involving a small group of human subjects. Those are some of the stories we're watching this morning.
The proposed Islamic center and mosque blocks from Ground Zero in New York has many people in the country talking, debating, arguing. On Friday, we spoke to New York Governor David Patterson about his effort to try to negotiate an agreement to move it.
My suggestion was to find an area that's in lower Manhattan that serves the catchment area of the Muslim community that's growing, that they would like to serve, and at the same time would not be so close to Ground Zero that it seems to offend many people that live there and many people that don't.
And many of you have weighed on this issue as well.
This is Lucille from Miami Beach, Florida. People forget that the reason this country began, the pilgrims were escaping religious persecution. This is a basic right to worship where we want. Islam did not kill people on 9/11. Radical Al-Qaeda terrorists did.
And yet this proposed Islamic center has become a symbol of both hatred and insensitivity by opponents and religious freedom by supporters. And many of the 1.5 billion Muslims from around the world are watching this debate play out. Joining us from Beirut is Ahmad Musali. He's a professor of Islamic studies at the American University of Beirut. Also with us, Borzu Deragahi, the Middle East correspondent for the LA Times. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning.
And also Muhammad Ali joins us from Nairobi. And I wanted to go to Ahmad and Muhammad first. Ahmad, maybe you can answer this question right off the bat. What is your reaction to this controversy as you see this debate playing out?
Well, I think it is inflated, and it's showing how much people are, you know, falling into some kind of Islamophobia. Although if you want to compare the damages brought about on the Muslim world because of 9/11, that is not committed by all Muslim or by a unified Islamic vision and movement. The tremendous difference between the number of the killed, if we want to do this and not reconcile and not accept Islam as one religion in the world, especially in the U.S., then we are going to say that anyone who has somebody killed by another religion or followers of another religion should shut off to that religion. And this is very dangerous because the mosque issue is not a single issue that is coming out. You know, the racial profiling, you know, in Europe many steps have been taken, like preventing minarets or the head covers in certain European countries. And on top of this, now we have a president who is calling for reconciliation, for calling for tolerance, and so forth. And slowly and gradually, he and the governor of New York are withdrawing from that possibility, which means there's a group that in the U.S. that does not want to reconcile with the Islamic world. The Islamic world is not in war with the United States. And today, if you look at the world in general, you find that the United States is the one that is occupying many, many countries and areas of the Islamic world. So, in fact, the one who should be afraid is the Muslim world, not the U.S. or, quote, the Western world.
All right. Well, that's a thesis paper on the state of Islamic relations of the U.S. right now. But, Mohammed, let me ask you, what is your personal reaction? What do you think as you watch these reports of this debate playing out in the U.S.? Mohammed?
Yeah, hello.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm hearing. I wasn't hearing the words of the former contributor, but I think that as I said earlier, building masjid in around the ground zero will not contribute or perpetuate hatred. Rather, it brings people together. Since masjids and all worship areas, it brings a sign of mercy and loveliness and togetherness, unity between people. But I have another point I'm sticking on it. If building masjid around there will bring some conflicts and hatred among the people in New York, I am advising or suggesting that we should get another place, another vacant place, and we'll build the masjid there.
You're saying they should move the site.
And then 9/11 has claimed lots of lives of innocent people. I still believe, masjids and Islam and Muslims, they are still stick on the constructive ideas that brings people together.
Okay.
So I don't believe that these people of racism and no religion, no other freedom, as I've seen in the morning Al Jazeera. I believe that masjid is bringing people together, but I'm not interested. I'm not suggesting where when we build the masjid, many people, many people believe that Muslims are behind, but I'm not.
Right.
I'm not those people.
I think that it's easy to hear the passion in both the voices of Muhammad Ali from Nairobi. He actually joined us because he was a caller into the BBC program World Have Your Say, and Ahmad Musali, a professor of Islamic Studies at the American University of Beirut. Let me turn down to Borzu Deragahi, Middle East correspondent for the LA Times. I understand you've already gotten a strong reaction to your piece. In your article, you say this controversy could become a worldwide black eye for the U.S.
Well, at least in the Muslim world, and that is a pretty huge section of the world, 1.5 billion people, there is a concern that there should be a concern that the debate as it's being played out will harm America's reputation in the same way, for example, that the hijab head covering controversy in Europe or the minaret controversy in Switzerland has damaged the reputation of those countries in the Muslim world.
Well, let me ask you about this. I mean, first of all, there's a lot of stereotypes of Muslims that are held by people in the United States that don't hold. I mean, we should make clear that Muslims are not just in the Middle East. We're talking about 1.6 billion people spread all over the world.
Yeah, absolutely. As a matter of fact, there's some surprising information. If you look at the data, about a billion Muslims live as mostly minorities in Far East Asian countries, and including China and other countries of Asia, and are not only about a quarter of Muslims live in the Arab Middle East, and so there's a huge expanse there. A fifth of Muslims live in sub-Saharan Africa. There's a huge expanse, a huge swath of the world that could be potentially alienated by this debate.
And you feel like the United States should embrace this Islamic cultural center because it would help our relations in the rest of the world?
I don't have any position on whether they should or not. Some Muslims say that actually it could hurt, as your Nigerian guest was saying, it could actually hurt relations between Muslims and the U.S.
If the controversy continues. That's Borzu Deragahi, a great article in the L.A. Times. He's a Middle East correspondent for the paper. And we also spoke with Muhammad Ali out of Nairobi and Ahmad Masali from Beirut. Thanks to all three of you.
Now, before we wrap for the hour, we want to update you on the hostage situation in the Philippines we've been reporting on this morning. It began when a laid-off Filipino policeman hijacked a bus filled with 15 tourists in the hopes of getting his job back. Police have surrounded the bus, shot out the tires, and stormed in. Now, a Manila hospital says six of the 15 hostages from the hijacked bus have been killed. We'll be keeping an eye on this story throughout the day.
I'm Celeste Headley.
And I'm Todd Zwillick. In for John Hockenberry this morning, this has been The Takeaway.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.